The Bible has this idea of joy that is of something so much deeper. And in a world that gets more and more complicated in trying to find pleasure and feel better, the Christmas story is one about something that's very simple that brings us joy. The Christmas story is about a child that was born, God coming to earth, and it was in the simplicity of this life that brought joy. It wasn't in complicated things. It didn't require money. It didn't require fanfare. It was just a moment where what was true and what was right came into people's lives. And we've been doing this series called Follow the Star, in which we've been following the wise men as they came to find Jesus. In the first week, we talked about how far they traveled and what that meant. And last week, we talked about who they were. They weren't people who believed in the Jewish God. They were people who were more unchurched than churched, and yet there was good news for them. And today we want to focus on that idea of what they gave and why joy is connected to giving. You'll see in Matthew chapter 2, it says that the wise men, when they saw that star, and who knew we had the very same star in our sanctuary this morning, that they were overjoyed. They were filled with great joy. And on coming to the house where Jesus the child was with his mother Mary, they bowed down and they worshiped him. They found something worth giving their whole heart to. And then they opened up their gifts after their heart did everything they could. Then their gifts and what they had were next. And they presented Jesus with gifts. And it was gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Oro, incensio, y mirra, right? Do we want to hear the bad wise men joke one more time about the three gifts? It was so good. Let's do it one more time. All right, here's the story told in a little bit more of a bad joke way. You see, there are these three wise men who walk into a barn. Whew, okay, that was hard. And they come in, and there are Mary and Joseph and the child, and Joseph's not happy. Joseph's like, this has kind of been a long day. You guys need to get out. And the first wise man goes, well, wait a minute. We've got gold for you. But I don't care. You need to get out. And the second wise man, no, you don't understand. We have frankincense. He's like, that's it. You're leaving. And the third wise man said, well, wait, there's myrrh. Okay, that's all I got. Sorry. So bad. But we think about these gifts, and we tend to think, oh, yeah, they gave him a little something, and that was nice, and frankincense and myrrh, what's that? Who cares? I mean, what's the deal? Perfume? Okay, I guess. But we really miss the significance that the wise men gave and really what it meant for them to give what we say, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. We just do it really quick. Well, actually, the idea, I don't know if you ever thought about, but I wonder how much that was worth. They gave them these gifts. I mean, I know gold's worth something, I found out as I went to the reliable internet to find out the information, I found out that a lot of people have wondered that. There's been a lot of speculation about how much did the wise men actually give. And so one economist and researcher did a study of kind of gift-giving in ancient culture and the idea of what that box would look like that they gave their treasure in. And they put together that it would not be unreasonable that when the first gift was given, gold, a chest of gold, in kind of ancient tradition, what that might look like in the size, it's probably about 50 pounds of gold. And if you started doing the math about current day value per ounce, that the value of the gold alone, and again, this is speculation because we don't know exactly how big it was, but it would probably be right that the gift they gave was like $1 million worth of gold. Now we think, wow, and then we find out about the frankincense and the myrrh, because according to ancient economics, the frankincense and the myrrh was worth more than the gold was worth. So, again, just kind of guessing a little bit, but it wouldn't be an unreasonable guess that the wise men gave more than $3 million in their gifts. That kind of changes your thoughts about that moment, right? I mean, they were giving. And they weren't giving a little bit. And if you think about the Christmas story, it's not too long after that that Herod wants to kill the child. They have to flee, and they become refugees in a foreign land. It's that money that sustains the hasty exit out of Israel, and it's that money that sustains them in Israel, in Egypt. By the time they make the traveling back, I mean, they probably didn't speak the language of the Egyptians. I mean, this wasn't some scholar in a palace or educated. I mean, this was a carpenter and his wife, so they probably didn't speak the language when they went to Egypt. And so the amount of money they probably got taken for and the issue of just trying to make it work, I mean, when they get back to Nazareth one day, they probably don't have anything left. But it's that gift that makes a way for Jesus to be where Jesus needs to be. It's pretty fascinating to think about it. And here are these wise men, and we don't really know if there were three. We just know there are three gifts that are mentioned. But here they are, and like we said last week, I mean, they don't necessarily follow the Jewish faith at all. They just know there's a king. They know there's someone worth worshiping that they've been searching for so long. And it makes you think about this idea, why give $3 million? I mean, what's the deal? Why don't you just come and show up, you know? And it's really because they found something in Jesus that was way worth more than millions of dollars. And, you know, sometimes we read the Bible and we tend to think that, those people in those religious times, and they were really special and very different. It's like, no, every pop love song we sing and every, you know, Billboard top 10 about love and searching for that eternal love, I mean, they were giving just the way all our society says they would give if they found a love that would last forever. It's all they were doing. They found something that was worth so much to them that it was worth giving what the world says was so important. John Piper, a pastor, says, the wise men gave gifts as a way of saying, I have not come to you to get something from you. I have come for you. In a sense, giving gifts to Christ is like fasting. It's going without something to show that Christ is more valuable than what you're going without. This giving, by giving to Christ what he does not need, because he's God, but what he does not need and what I might enjoy, I'm saying more earnestly and more authentically, little put your money where your mouth is, you are my treasure, God, not these things. You are what I need so much more than these things. I think that's what the wise men are doing. I think that is why we still give to Jesus today. That is the heart behind what the wise men were doing, and it's the heart of why we as a church family at this Christmas time, we give gifts to Jesus instead of just think about the gifts we're getting or the gifts we're giving just to the people around us. It's this idea that something is so much more, it's worth so much more than the millions of dollars I could give. What is that? It's this true love that the world writes books about and yet can never find. And yet these wise men had found it and said, everything else I have is worth nothing compared to it. So if you think about the writer of Matthew as he's going through the scripture, and we're just going to kind of finish with this thought, Matthew's been saying all along that when Jesus is born, it's the love that you've always been searching for. Pretty much what he's saying. And in Matthew 1:21, it talks about the birth of Jesus. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus. Because why? He will save his people from their sins. Real love brings real forgiveness in our lives. And that's something that no amount of money can ever buy you, is the sense of real forgiveness, the sense that I can have peace where I've been and peace in knowing where I'm going. You know, there's really no relationship that works. There's no relationships that says they love each other. It's not true if you can't forgive each other. Because we kind of have this version in the world that says love is about perfection and you complete me and you always do what's right for me and you're always there for me in such a perfect way. That's why I love you. But that's not real love. Love says I forgive you. And in today's day and age, there's not enough medication out there and there's not enough money to buy forgiveness. Forgiveness is something that really has to happen in our lives. And we don't have to have gone to church at all to know that everybody needs forgiveness. It's just part of our heart because we know we can be selfish. We can live out of fear and anxiety instead of thinking about others. And this gift of forgiveness, it's something that doesn't just work in families. It's something that communities need. It's something that nations need. Dr. Martin Luther King said, "We must develop and maintain the capacity to forgive. He who is devoid of the power to forgive is devoid of the power to love." Jesus said, "The person who's been forgiven much loves much." And that's something we can't put a price tag on. It's something that can change us more than anything we could ever buy. One writer said it this way, "When you forgive, you in no way change the past, but you sure do change the future." That's a good word, isn't it? That's what we all need. That's what communities need. That's what our families need. That's what some of our marriages need, is forgiveness, a chance to have a different future. That's what Jesus did in coming to earth and giving his life on the cross. It was not to ignore what we've done and not to ignore the past, but to say your past doesn't have to be your future. It's what God did for each of us. That's what God's love in us can do for one another. Matthew also said that his name would be Emmanuel, God with us. And it's the idea that God was always going to be with us. Like, God would never change being faithful to us. And how many of us in this room, man, we're thankful that God's been a lot more faithful than we've been, right? Like, we all need beginnings. We all need second chances. There are times we stop being faithful. But God always is. And the birth of Jesus was the declaration that God is always with us. As a pastor, I'll spend time with families in the hospital, with loved ones who are sick. I'll get to celebrate births or promotions. Sometimes I'll be with families who are working out the loss of a job or the change of having to move. Sometimes it's trying to learn to love each other. And the beautiful news is, no matter where you are and what you're going through, God is with you. God is with you. That's so important to remember. We have a way in this world of taking God, the spiritual and the secular, and setting them apart. God is always with you, no matter where you are. He is faithful. And that faithfulness in a world that talks about forever love, those movie stars who fall in love with each other on the movie set, and then, you know, and on the tabloids, they found the love of their life, and then 6 months later, they're getting divorced, and, you know, that kind of faith. Like, no, there's a real faithful love out there that will always be with us. And Matthew says, when he talks about the gifts being given, it's really an idea that God will be for everyone. Most of us hear about these gifts of gold, incense, and myrrh, and one of the popular teaching, and it's not wrong, that says, well, those gifts were given to Jesus because they represented that he was a priest, that he was king, that he was a priest, and that he was a sacrifice. Gold is for a king, incense is part of prayer and a priest, and myrrh is for taking care of a body after it was buried. And it's the idea that they were symbols of that. Now, the other gospels probably portray that. Actually, Luke does. But the interesting thing is Matthew never says anything about these gifts again. So Matthew more likely is talking about the idea that all the nations need to come, because Matthew was a Jewish writer, and he was very, in the book of Matthew, we get all these references to the Old Testament. Well, gold, frankincense, and myrrh, here is the reference in Isaiah 60. Nations shall come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your rising. Lift up your eyes all around and see. They all gather together, they come to you, your sons shall come from afar. The wealth of the nation shall come to you, talking about the Messiah. Caravans of camels shall cover you. They shall bring what? Gold and frankincense, and shall bring good news, the praises of the Lord. When Matthew makes sure he mentions what the wise men bring, it's his way of referencing Isaiah 60, saying, one day, every nation, not just Israel, every nation gets to come to the God who's created them, gets to know the love that they were always meant for. And we have a lot of ways in our society, even church culture, of separating people and saying, you're in, you're out. Well, not Jesus. Jesus was for all nations, for all people, and he's still that today. The truth about why wise men would give millions of dollars and saying, what I found is so much more than this, is because everything that the world is really searching for, every human heart is created to know a love that will forgive, that will be faithful, and that will last forever. And that love is in Jesus. That's the love that you and I can know today. And today, obviously, we tend to have people who come to celebrate with their family. And sometimes it's been the first time someone's been back to church in a long time. This may be the first time in a while you've been back to church. Some of you, it's the first time ever. It's like, you know, I wanted to come and be part of celebrating with the family, their child. And some of us here today. And, you know, I thought about all the different ways that we would take this moment and not take it for granted or not miss that God brought us here today. And I thought if we could do something simple for every person in the room, it would be this. How about we have a moment and say, God, would you remind me of your love for me today? And whether you've been to church in a long time or never before, that's a prayer you can pray. Because in Jeremiah 29, another passage in the Old Testament, God makes a promise to people who felt far away from him. He says this, you will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. I will be found by you, declares the Lord. Isn't that the story of the wise men? That they took all that they were and they went and tried to find the King of Kings, the one who would change the world. And they found him. God made a way. And today, somehow God made a way for you to be here, and it's not an accident that you're here. But there's a chance to say a simple prayer today, and I'm going to lead us in a moment to do it, that says, God, would you help me feel your love again? That is it, just that simple prayer. And we're going to do that for everybody here, for our church family who's going to give to this offering. I want you also to remember, family, that the reason why we still give gifts today is because that love didn't just change our lives, but just like God gave his son, we can give to somebody else so they can find it. So we want to give to New Community Church. We're planting a church up in Glen Allen in September, and Pastor Brandon and Hannah, Joseph of Joseph and Mary up on stage. Felt like they're an old married couple the whole time. It was kind of you know, there are thousands upon thousands upon thousands who need to know about Jesus. And up in Glen Allen. And we get to give to help that church begin. We want to give to Ethiopia. We have a Christian clinic in the middle of an all-Muslim village. And we get to see people come to Christ. And their families and moms and dads, just like you and me, they've just never had the chance to know about Jesus. And we, as we give, we can make sure that clinic continues. Our Cornerstone Revitalization Center, CRC, we work on the Jeff Davis Corridor, and especially with our Hispanic community as we're seeking to start a Hispanic Education Center for Thomas Dale and some of our local public schools, we're going to be able to give to them. And we want to give to our public schools as we enjoy continuing to serve the generations that are around us, as well as our nursery and our missionaries around the world. So church family, that's why we give, because we found something so much more than anything that we have. Jesus really is that love that every person is searching for and everyone was created to know. And so we want to take a moment to pray. And after the prayer, the preschoolers are going to come on out. And as we take our tithes and offerings and Christmas offering, we're going to let them lead us in one more moment of joy this morning. So would you bow your hearts and your heads with me this morning? Would you take a moment, and if it's been a long time since you've prayed, or maybe you've never prayed before this moment, would you just take a moment and just with honesty and a humble heart say, God, would you bring your love to me? Would you help me know your love right where I'm at? and what I'm going through in life. The Bible says God will answer that prayer this morning. Father in heaven, I come to you because and through Jesus, his love and his sacrifice that has brought me and each person who believes in him forgiveness of sins and peace with you, peace with ourselves and in a world that's so troubled. Lord, I ask that each person here, every student, every grandparent, every friend, every family member, Lord, no matter how this world has tried to pull them down or how much they felt alone or forgotten, we ask this morning by your Holy Spirit that you would bring your love into the hearts of each person here. May they notice your love in new and powerful ways, no matter what they go through this week. And may they know that you have promised to be with them. Be with them now, I ask. Lord, bless this offering as we give so others who have never known that love can know it today and throughout this next year. In the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, I pray. And everyone said, the ushers are going to come forth to receive the tithes and offerings, the Christmas offering. Can we welcome all our preschoolers?